Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
We have a poll question up at the Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. What do you think of the new Predators jerseys, at least the ones that were leaked out? We have the side by each picture of them up there for you to peruse, and then you can go ahead and vote on the poll question. 75% of you are saying you like the old one better. 25% are saying you like the new design. I guess that's it. I'm going to go ahead and say that that is it. Maybe part of it is the presentation of it, but, man, the new one looks really, really plain. It's just really plain. Greg Wyshynski joins us now. Of course, we've got tomorrow the expansion draft where we're going to explain a little bit of that and how that's going to work. And he joins us now to Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. He of the Puck Daddy blog at Yahoo Sports. Greg, welcome back. How are you, man?
Doing well, man. I'm here in Vegas. It's 117 degrees.
It's a dry heat, though.
It's good. I was saying to my wife, like, I'll take this over 95 degrees in New York City every time, and in humidity for sure. Although it's hilarious, like, when you pass by some of like the outdoor seating at these restaurants, they have like those like mist machines on to try to keep people cool. And I'm like, when it's 117 degrees outside, I don't quite know how a slight mist of water during your meal really makes a lot much difference.
That's not going to make much of a difference. I mean, that's for sure. Have you seen any of the leaked jerseys that have come out yet?
Yeah, we published three of them. We published the Predators, the Blues, and the Blue Jackets. In the case of the Blues and the Blue Jackets, just slight tweaks. But as you've been talking about, the Predators ones are amongst the ones where the changes are a little bit more dramatic insofar as the style of them. Obviously, no change to the logo, but you know they're going to say it's a cleaner look. I think it's sort of a vanilla plain look on some of these. The Devils are going to have the same sort of thing where they've taken the stripes off the waist of those jerseys. So, you know, it's I want to see them in person. I want to see what they look like in real life. I Adidas has a lot of goodwill with me because of how good the World Cup jerseys looked, and also because they're getting rid of some of the things that Reebok did poorly, like the piping on the jerseys for the Colorado Avalanche. But those Predators jerseys are a downgrade for sure.
And everybody else who had piping. It wasn't just the Avalanche. I mean, the Preds had the piping. I'm glad they got rid of the piping. That's the only thing I like from what I'm looking at right now. The logo is the same. I would like to see the logo a little bit bigger, like the Penguins logo is or like the Blackhawks logo is. But I'm very disappointed in just the plain yellow all over the uniform. I thought that they would look great. See, I thought the Blues is beautiful, and it was tweaked, but it was tweaked. Everything about it was made it better. But can you imagine that Preds jersey with the blue shoulder caps? Because that screams hockey. The Devils have had that. The Bruins have it now. The Blues have it. But can you imagine if the shoulders, the total shoulder, was in blue with the trim? Now, that would have been, to me, that would have been kicking. That's all it needs, really, is to have that kind of a look. Like the Oilers, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous jersey.
Yeah, and you know, I think that this is the mark one of these jerseys. Okay, like there's going to be changes made over the next few years. They got rid of all the third jerseys for the team, so we're going to have all new designs for the third jerseys coming up when they decide to start doing those again. You know, it's their first big reveal, and again, the only teams that really had dramatic changes I mean, obviously, the first batch of the Vegas Golden Knights jerseys are new, so that's a change. But the Leafs and the Panthers were the two teams that were going to have the biggest changes, and they've already released their jerseys in previous seasons. So,
yeah,
you know, this batch we're going to see today officially is just going to be some tweaks.
So the Leafs aren't changing again, is what you're saying? The Panthers?
No, that was their change.
Okay.
They and the Panthers were part of this redesign by Adidas, but the Leafs wanted to get theirs out in time for the centennial. And the Panthers literally can't do anything right, so I guess they just started wearing them before they should have, or something.
Right. Did the Flames? I know, like what the Oilers are doing, they're going with the orange at home because you can't use a third jersey. The Flames, their third jersey was the old Atlanta Flames jersey, and that is so gorgeous. Well, I say Atlanta. It's also Calgary when they won the cup with Terry Criss, my buddy, as the coach. The Lanny McDonald Flames uniforms, if you will. Do you know if they're going with that at all, or are they going strictly with their normal Flames jersey that they've been wearing?
I think they're sticking with the normal Flames jersey from what I understand. And, you know, I think the opportunity was there to do more retro stuff. I mean, you know, you're talking about the Blues and how great those jerseys look. I mean, I think the best St. Louis Blues jersey I've seen maybe ever were those retro throwbacks they wore in the Winter Classic this year. I mean, if they made those the primary jerseys, that'd be pretty fantastic. So, I don't know. I imagine this is going to be the first of many changes we see over the next 10 years for these jerseys now that Adidas has the contract.
Have you seen the Golden Knights jerseys yet? I mean, they haven't revealed it yet.
They have been under wraps. Some people have seen them. I know that... you know, obviously people around the team have seen them. You know, some people in like the gear media have seen them, but they're doing the big reveal. They're doing the big reveal of all the Adidas stuff at a party at the Wynn tonight. And then they're actually revealing the Golden Knights jerseys at the Las Vegas sign at an event tonight. So that's kind of cool. And it'll be fun. And the interesting thing though, in classic NHL fashion, is that they're not actually going to be on sale here in Vegas after they reveal them tonight. They're not ready or something. you can do pre-orders on them at the team store and online, but you're not going to be getting these jerseys until October at the earliest, and even then there's going to be a limited number of them.
All right, what about the Islanders? Because I saw this little thing leaked that looked like some sort of a tweet or something leaked, and it didn't look at all like the Islanders uniforms. I don't know if they were in pieces or whatever, but it looked like they were in. Have you heard anything about a major overhaul of the Islanders, which is a beautiful, you know, when they weren't a normal Islanders jerseys? It seems like so many of these teams, their original jersey seems to be the best one. But are they making a big significant change or no?
Not that I'm aware of, and I know that, you know, when they moved to Brooklyn, outside of that black third jersey that they had with the NY on the front of it, they were very careful to maintain the integrity of the logo, the same one that, you know, Mike Bossy and Pat LaFontaine wore during their seasons there. So I'd be surprised if there was any major change with those jerseys.
All right. Expansion draft primer. In terms of, you know, each team was able to protect eight skaters and a goalie. Is that right?
Well, it was either you could protect eight skaters and a goalie, or seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goalie. It all depends on how many defensemen you wanted to protect. So in the case of the Predators, for example, they obviously have to protect PK and Ekholm and Ellis and Josi. So they went with the eight skaters thing instead, and that's why you have James Neal exposed.
Yeah. Now, was there – and what was the rule for a guy not being exposed in terms of being a rookie? Because, you know, the Saros thing, the fact that, you know, he is not on on the available list.
Yeah, there was a minimum games requirement with regard to whether or not a player was eligible for it. So I want to say it was 40 potentially games. Might be a little bit more than that. I forget exactly what the exact number was, but – you know, guys like Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Austin Matthews didn't have to be protected. So there was a young player exemption, and you know that helped out some teams that are clearly skewing a little bit younger, like the Maple Leafs.
Right. Yesterday we had a caller say, "Boy, we were surprised that the Predators exposed their captain, Mike Fisher." And well, there's a lot of question about Mike Fisher's future. But if you're the Golden Knights, you're not looking at guys like Mike Fisher, right? I mean, you're looking at guys that can help you going forward that are much younger guys. I don't think the Preds have to worry about, you know, Mike Fisher being picked up.
No, and, you know, in some cases it's going to be age, in some cases it's going to be salary. Like the Ottawa Senators exposed Bobby Ryan, and he said it himself, you know, I don't think they're going to take me at $7 million a season for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right.
and he's probably right. You know, it's gonna. We did a mock draft on Puck Daddy, and I think I might have had four players that were 30 and older, including Marc-Andre Fleury on the roster. I think it's going to be a fairly young team. It's going to be a mix of guys that they are going to build around and guys that they're going to immediately look to trade. It's a complicated process and a balancing act, but it seems like in just talking to George McPhee, the general manager of the Vegas team today, he thinks that there was a bit more scoring and a bit more depth than he thought there was going to be available on these protected lists.
I saw a note where, and maybe at NHL.com, where they've got like six trades already in the mix. What would be some of the bigger ones? Are any of those involved the Preds?
He said that there's at least a half dozen trades that are already in the bag, probably more on the way. None involved the Predators as far as I'm aware of. The ones that we know are the Islanders trying to keep the Golden Knights off of several of their players by sending a first-round pick along with Nikolai Kuhlman and Mikhail Grabowski to Vegas. You have the Blue Jackets sending a pick to Vegas to keep them off several players. You have the Anaheim Ducks sending something to Vegas to keep them from drafting Josh Manson, their great young defenseman. That might involve them actually drafting Sammy Vatanen, who's another good defenseman, instead. And then there's been word today that the Pittsburgh Penguins, in order to ensure that the Golden Knights take Marc-Andre Fleury as their goalie, had to sweeten the pot a little bit there too, to keep them off of drafting a kid like Brian Rust and take Fleury instead. So, you know, it's going to be a war chest of draft picks for this team and these sort of side deals that have been made to ensure that certain players aren't taken. And that's, you know, how the NHL gamed it. You know, the reason that they set these expansion draft parameters was to ensure that the Golden Knights get a bunch of good players straight away. And if they don't, that they get compensated with draft picks.
And they can only take one player off of each team. Do they, I guess I misunderstood it. Do they have to take one player from each team? Is that how this is working? Even if somebody does a trade and they say, all right, stay away from this guy, or if you take, you know, we'll give you this, but you got to take Marc-Andre Fleury, then that's it. They're done with Pittsburgh. If they take James Neal, that's it. They're done. But they have to take one guy from each team?
Yep, one guy from each team, and it's funny you should mention that because that came up today at the press availability with McPhee, their general manager, the idea that there are going to be some throwaway picks. There are going to be players that are restricted free agents that are eligible for arbitration, and the Golden Knights are simply just going to walk away from them and they'll become free agents. So it's, you know, there are teams like the Vancouver Canucks, the Arizona Coyotes, where you look at their roster and say, okay, I'm either taking a veteran that makes money that I don't really want, or I'm taking a kid that I might not really want. So in those cases, they're just going to kind of take somebody and then walk away from them in sort of a throwaway pick opportunity.
I really like Marc-Andre Fleury. I think you said 30 and over. He might just be 30, right? I thought he was 29. So maybe he'll be 30 for the season this upcoming year, and I think he's got a lot of hockey left in him. Do you suspect that he's going to be the Golden Knights goalie, or would that be one where they'll take a guy and trade that guy for somebody else? Or, you know, what do you think happens there?
I do. I do for a couple reasons. First off, I think he makes this team a bit more competitive than another goalie would. Just by being as good as he's been in the regular season. I think that he can be a good guy in the room as a veteran. He's, you know, anyone who knows him or has covered him knows that even in the darkest times, he can be a very, you know, good guy to have in the room, like a real positive dude to have around your team. And that's always good for an expansion team that might struggle off the bat. And frankly, you know, the musical chairs amongst goalies in this league has come to a stop. You look around at who needs a goalie. I mean, Calgary just traded for Mike Smith, so they're off the board. Dallas got Ben Bishop, so they're off the board. You're looking at maybe the Philadelphia Flyers.
They always need a goalie. They always need a goalie.
Marc-Andre Fleury wants to play for the Flyers.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Vegas, if he wants to get his 50 to 55 starts, might be the only place to go.
The Flyers have needed a goalie forever, since Bernie Parent. I think the Flyers have needed a goal. It seems like they always need a goal.
Come on, you're disrespecting Ron Hextall, right?
Oh, Ron Hextall. Ever since Ron Hextall.
Your point's taken.
Yeah.
So the real interesting scenario I heard today is the Golden Knights draft Peter Mrazek from the Detroit Red Wings, who was sort of a surprise addition to the unprotected list. He kind of played his way there, according to what I hear from that team. Didn't have a very good last year. Jimmy Howard did, and it seems like they maybe are a little bit down on him. But if he gets taken, I think the Flyers are a really interesting landing spot for him. I think he could be a really solid starter for somebody if he can kind of get his head straight. And I know that I know that's sort of like been the modus operandi for every Flyers goalie of the last 10 or 20 years. But he's one to watch. If they end up taking him, I think he could be on the move pretty quickly.
Greg Wyshynski with us from the Puck Daddy blog at Yahoo Sports. All right, in your mock, did you have him take James Neal? 77 goals in the last 3 years, by the way, for the Preds. I mean, it doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't suck. And I had him taking Neal. I don't know if it's going to be a situation where they keep him on the roster or if they flip him in the summer or if they flip him at the trade deadline. But looking at what's available, I think he's the pick. If it came down to him or Cali Yarncroc, I think the Predators might have made the right call. You know, that contract that Yarncroc has is so good. Maybe one of the most envious contracts in the NHL right now as far as the term and the dollars against the cap, and he's a good young center, which is really hard to find. So, you know, if it came down to him versus Neal, I think you've got to do exactly what they did and expose Neal, despite the fact that scoring wingers are a thing that are at a premium in this league.
Would you, from the Predators' standpoint, who was the guy that would hurt the most to lose? Because I'm looking at, you know, Colton Sissons, I think, is a comer. I always have liked Craig Smith and Colin Wilson. I always expect them to break out and have better years than what they end up having. It seems like year in and year out. But, you know, if you're the Preds, is there somebody that hurts more than James Neal where you'd say, oh, damn, I wish they had taken James Neal?
Well, I think from a logistics standpoint, Sissons might be the guy that hurts more only because if you look at Mike Fisher, you know, potentially retiring, and you know, now you're looking at your center spot and the depth that you have there, and he looks like a guy that could be there for a few years, that would hurt. But ultimately, look, there's going to be a lot of pain tomorrow for these teams. I mean, losing James Neal and losing those goals is not an easy thing to do, despite the fact that it seemed like a pretty easy call to expose him. It's a tough call, and to lose him would hurt in the short term. You have to go out and replace those goals in your top six.
All right, across the league, outside, forget the Predators now. Just who are some of the names that you think would be, you know, some really strong players for them? Give me two or three guys that are going to kind of shift the power of things that just couldn't be protected, and that are going to be the best players for the Golden Knights this upcoming year.
Well, I think Nate Schmidt's an interesting one from the Washington Capitals. He's a restricted free agent, good young puck-moving defenseman, a guy that they don't necessarily want to lose. But again, it becomes a numbers game for them, choosing three defensemen to protect. And he's a guy that McPhee drafted, and it seems like a pretty natural fit here. William Carrier is an interesting name. He's a 22-year-old forward for the Buffalo Sabres. Surprising that he was exposed, but it seems like maybe it was a situation where they had to bait the hook with him to keep the team from drafting other guys in that roster. There are a few, and you know, in the case of the Golden Knights, I think you're going to see them draft, you know, five or six restricted free agents that will end up being the core of this team, a good young core for this team, and then a bunch of veterans who probably won't even be here by the end of next week.
Yeah, and so it'll be 30 guys. How many guys did he go to camp with? What's the maximum number of guys you can go to camp with, including your draft picks?
Well, I mean, I think you can go to camp with whoever many guys you want.
Oh, it's not a cap?
Yeah, you can only have 50 contracts on your overall roster. Mm-hmm. And as McPhee said today, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 23 guys that you can kind of carry during the season. So, you know, the expectation is that they're going to draft a bunch of defensemen and trade a lot of them just because of, you know, you're getting the fourth best defenseman on a lot of really good teams. And teams are going to be in the market for that. So, you know, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, last time we saw this was 17 years ago, basically, the expansion draft process play out. And the rules this time are a lot more, I think, in favor of the expansion team than they were previously. They're going to get a good collection of players, and it's just a matter of who they're going to keep and who they're going to move.
But it's not brutal for the teams that are existing. When are we going to see it again? 3 years? I mean, this 31 team thing is stupid. I mean, we got to get a 32nd team, and this is just kind of goofy.
It all comes down to whether or not Seattle can get their act together. And you know, if there was a building with a shovel in the ground, and there was one ownership group that came out of the three or four different groups that were in contention for a team, and was able to put up the money, then we would have two teams right now vying in this expansion draft. But Seattle couldn't get their act together. They still really like that market. I go back and forth on it, man. Like, that's a really good market demographically for the NHL. There's an instant natural rivalry with Vancouver. There's a lot to like there. But that's a really crowded marketplace, and it could get even more crowded if they get an NBA team again there.
I thought Quebec was the one that was going to get a team.
I think that's their back. I think that's their back pocket relocation site, to be honest with you. And I've heard that from some people through the years. I kind of buy it. If the Coyotes, for whatever reason, can't get in a situation where an arena is in place together and they're forced to move, I mean, I think that Quebec would be the spot.
Then who will be the – let's see, what would that – if you had – you got Vegas, and if you had another Western team, I mean, we got everybody in the West, right? I mean, I'm confused. Oh, no, the East has more. Does the East have
– The East has more. They need to add another team in the West. And obviously if the Coyotes were to move to Quebec at some point, that doesn't really solve anything. Mainly because I think Quebec would have to play in the West to start out. But yeah, they need to add another expansion team in the West, and all eyes are on a place like Seattle, and all eyes are on a place like Portland.
So this makes 16 in the East and 15 in the West right now.
Correct.
As it sits right now. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. By the way, is it the Vegas Golden Knights or is it the Las Vegas Golden Knights? What is the true
Vegas Golden Knights?
Vegas.
I think they felt that loss would be one word too many in a sports team name.
That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, it's not even the name of the city. I mean, it would be like the Angeles, Kings. You know what I mean? Nobody says the Angeles Kings. It's Las Vegas. I mean, Vegas is a nickname. We don't call the LA Kings the Angeles Kings. I mean, you know, jeez.
Well, I mean, listen, as a guy who self-identifies from being from Jersey, I can kind of understand
Jersey, I get that.
The idea of being from Vegas, you know?
But nobody ever says the Jersey Devils. Nobody says the Jersey Devils. Which
is ironic because they were named after the Jersey Devil, the monster that lives in the Pine Barren.
Really? I did not know that. I did not. I always can win a cold drink when I tell people that they were the Colorado Rockies, and they're like, no. I'm like, no, yeah, they were the Colorado.
No, they had a name the team contest. There's a mythical beast that lives. If you remember The Sopranos, the episode where Christopher and Pauly are running through the forest in the snow.
Yeah,
those are the Pine Barrens, and there's allegedly a mythical like half horse, half demon that lives there, and that's who the Devils were named after, the Jersey Devil.
So when somebody asks you where you're from, do you tell them like Exit 78 or something like that? I mean, I know from New Jersey uses exit numbers.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm from Exit 120. So.
Everybody I talked to from Jersey, they use their exit number, and they all know The Sopranos. It doesn't matter. They know The Sopranos, and they tell me what I, you know. By the way, you know the Predator story, right? You know why the Predators are the Preds, right?
Yeah, they found like a saber-toothed tiger underneath some building or something.
Yeah, they found the skull of a saber-toothed tiger at the site where they were building the then Gaylord Entertainment Center. Yeah,
I learned in writing about the team during this playoff run that they actually they had like a logo before that they had a team name.
Yeah.
I think Craig Leopold liked the name Predators, even though it didn't really make any sense. But, I mean, he owned the team, so he can name it whatever the hell he wants to.
Yeah, he did. And hopefully they left him tickets for the to go to the Stanley Cup this year. But that's a whole other story. All right. Well, I appreciate it. When's the draft? Is the draft in like another week, right?
No. Well, the entry draft for the rookies is this weekend in Chicago.
This weekend.
The expansion draft is tomorrow night. They're actually doing the expansion draft at the same time as the NHL awards. So
right.
If you tune in to watch the awards tomorrow night, during the awards show, they're going to cut in and announce groups of players that the Golden Knights have drafted.
Well, that's cool. That'll make that a little bit juicier.
It's worth checking out. It's going to be a pretty good show.
And there's nobody in the entry draft. There's no Connor McDavid's or Jack Eichel's or Matthews. There's no guys like that that's going to step in and play for anybody right off the bat.
Nope. There's a Canadian kid by the name of Nolan Patrick who has been injury prone, but has some real upside. There's a Swiss kid named Nico Heischer who could end up being a Pavel Datsyuk type. And then there's some really good mobile defensemen that aren't on the level of an Aaron Ekblad or even an Eric Karlsson or someone like that, but could help you out pretty quickly. So, you know, it's gotten a bad rap this draft because there's no Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid, but I think overall it could actually be a bit better than people are giving it credit for.
All right, man. Sounds good. And the Golden Knights, do they pick first in every round, or like they did with the expansion teams in the NFL? Or
no, they pick like sixth, I think.
Really? They got the number one pick overall? They don't even get the number one pick overall?
No, the Devils have it. They had good lottery odds. What it was.
Oh, I thought that they would just put this. So the Devils, well, the Devils earned it, but I thought they would, they earned it the honest way, the good old fashioned way they earned it. All right,
yeah,
man.
They definitely earned it.
All right, I appreciate you. We're reading you at the Puck Daddy blog, Yahoo Sports, the foremost authority when it comes to the National Hockey League, Greg Wyshynski. Thanks, man.
Thanks, bud.
That's a good job by him. I learned stuff there. I don't know. You guys learn anything? I mean, Cream doesn't care. He's like, hockey, what are you kidding me? All he wants to know is if there's ice in his drink. He doesn't care about any other ice.
I always love listening to Greg. Greg's solid, man.
That's solid stuff right there. That's good stuff. It's going to suck to lose James Neal, but you know, you got to lose somebody.
And I did learn that we got some, well, he said some draft action going on Wednesday for the...
Well, tomorrow's the expansion draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when everybody has to pluck one player from... That's when the Golden Knights will pluck one player from each team. That's tomorrow. And then... Over the weekend will be the draft, actual draft. So we got the NBA. It's always within days of the NBA draft. So you got the NBA draft Thursday night, and the NHL draft is like Saturday.
Well, yeah. I did learn something. I learned that I can use Greg as a guest next week to talk about that.
There you go. Are you doing my show all next week?
I'm doing your show all week.
Wow. You're going to have the Creamage in here with you a little bit?
Yeah.
It'll be in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. There you go. So there's your show next week. Hopefully I have a job when I get back. I mean, you guys are solid, man. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, let's talk a little NFL. We haven't talked to Brent Sobolewski in a couple of weeks, so let's get caught up with some NFL talk with Sobo next right here on the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039 AM.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Just using, you know what? I'm having fun watching Cream fight with the phone. I don't know if it's him or what the deal is, but he's battling with that phone over there, man, and the phone might be winning. I'm not sure. But it's just kind of weird. I don't know, I thought they changed the equipment when we got the new phone system in. But apparently, is that the same phone? Is it like, did the buttons stick and things like that all the time?
Oh, yeah.
You got to really honk on them, right? Did you give them a train? It's the only phone where you actually have to have like training on. And I don't understand it because like when I talked to Chuck the engineer and you know, we finally got the new hybrid, I thought that we were actually getting new equipment. Well, we got a new phone. You know, I mean, it's been good for a year and a half or however long it's been. But I didn't realize until I came in here it was the same actual, you know, phone set. And you gotta like lean on it, you know. You skinny guys, man.
I bet if you had Cole try to dial the phone for a day, we'd have a new phone.
Well, Cole, that's different. I mean, this is the it's the Cole Memorial Studio here. I say that, and it makes it sound like he's dead. You know what I mean? Like you see that Auburn, Huntsville, Madison, Auburn Club. It's a lot of Auburn stuff in here. Let me look around, man. You see that thing up there that says Hurricanes? That was a sales award that I got. There used to be about 15 of them up there, right up there at top of the whatever that's on top of. I don't know what it's on top of there, but the thing that says Hurricanes. That was Mark Sullivan, our Atlanta boss. All right, he who is our Atlanta boss again now. He would send those out if you did something special. I don't know, like sold an annual contract or something like that. And I had I called them helmet stickers. So they were like helmet stickers, and I would put them up on the – there used to be a bunch of them over there on that tower. It's kind of interesting to see all this stuff. I see where your Bridgets are. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, this little rack here is interesting. I wish I knew what most of it was about.
Well, you probably should because, I mean, that's part of the deal about being in here is that you should be like a junior engineer. Well, when you're in here, they should teach you all of where the bodies are buried. You know what I mean? So that you know, like, if you have to jump behind that thing,
yeah,
you know what you got to do.
I would love to learn that. I just kind of feel like Chuck, the way he comes in and tries to give you a tutorial and anything, yeah. It would be good for the first couple minutes, and then he just turns into yelling and just cussing for no reason.
Well, that's so, Chuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? So. And you know, Chuck was an on-air personality back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that? He's got the pipe. No, Chuck was an on-air personality at one point in time. But, you know, he's like Venus Flytrap, you know, and you guys don't even know who that is probably. But Venus Flytrap was one of the DJs on WKRP in Cincinnati, the real one, not the remake of that. But, you know, I mean, just you look at Chuck, you could tell that Chuck at one point in time that he probably had a little ponytail going. Probably you could see that Chuck had that long hair, probably had a wild hair across his butt. You know what I mean? Chuck probably burned a few brain cells up back in the day.
Oh, I can tell.
You know what
Chuck
you think?
Definitely.
Chuck's like a hippie
cells.
From way back. You know what I mean? I mean, I was like in a Young Republicans club, and Chuck was burning chicks' bras. You know what I mean? That's how I think of Chuck. When I think of Chuck back in his DJ days, I could see Chuck doing like late night, you know, DJing.
Yeah.
Got a little Barry White for you here. Grab your baby here now. Just grab someone you love. And if you can't be with the one you love.
I can see him being the LS DJ.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's Venus Flytrap. Those guys back in the day. All right. So what's going on over there? We don't know. We're not getting solo.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Can't get a hold of.
Nothing coming up with Stones. You know what that means? The phone lines are open. I haven't even taken a phone call. Here I've been in this studio. I haven't even taken a phone call. Broadcasting from the Cumulus Athens Empire, paying off my bet. You know what it is? It's probably the rap music. The rap music. I call it rap music. The rap music. Chasing people off on that deal. But if you want to get in, we'll go ahead and throw that phone line open for you right now. You can get in at 866-485-9867. It'll get you into the show, 866-485-9867. We're probably open now the rest of the way unless we hear from our boy. Looks like we'll probably be open the rest of the way. Philadelphia 76ers are officially on the clock. We're going to see what they do. Of course, they made that deal with the Celtics. It gives Boston the third pick in this year's draft, plus a future number one. That future first rounder that Boston sent will either be the Lakers selection next year, if it falls between 2 and 5, or a first rounder in 2019, which belongs to either Sacramento or Philadelphia. It's very confusing. But what we do know is it seems like Philly will take Markelle Fultz. We're going to go to Philadelphia tomorrow, try and get the pick before the pick happens. But it looks like they'll take Markelle Fultz out of Washington to add to their bevy of first-rounders that they've snagged in the past few years. He'll team up with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and they'll all share the same hospital ward, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sounds really. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? And this Cavs thing is totally mind-blowing to me. How do you fire your GM 5 minutes before the draft and his assistant?
And he's making moves for – He was in the middle of trying to make a move for Jimmy Butler and Paul George.
He's like, hello, can I get a hold of Jimmy Butler? No, the owner's on the phone. You've been let go. His contract was up. He knew that this could happen, yeah. That there was a possibility that this would happen. But I don't know if it greases the skids for LeBron's exit. This is where a lot of the conversation has been, that, oh, this now means – I can't see LeBron leaving. Not this year, not next year, not no year. Not after everything he put that city through. See, just shut up and finish up your career there.
I would have thought the same thing, but it just, some of his interviews while they were losing the finals and after they lost the finals really led to either the assumption that he would either retire if he lost a couple more or
then
that he would leave. Yeah, so I
think that the worst thing for his legacy would be to leave. If he really cares about legacy. Because right now, you can say that it was, you know, he could say, well, I craved that championship so much and I felt like it was the thing I needed to do to go to Miami. But I realized once I was there that at the first opportunity I got, I was going to come back to Cleveland and so on. If he wants to be in that Michael discussion, you know, Michael just stayed. Now, Michael ends up, but that was the team's decision.
Yeah.
Michael ends up, of course, a Wizard at the end when he comes back with the Wizards. But that's a different type of deal. I mean, LeBron has to be cut from the Cavs, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if he wants to even have any of that kind of conversation, he wants to be in that conversation with the Magic Johnsons and stuff. Magic Johnson, if he's still playing basketball today, is still a Laker.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson was never leaving the Lakers. Other guys moved. Shaq played for every team in the NBA. At the end of the day, I think Shaq went everywhere. But then it became, well, that was Shaq.
You're right.
You know, guys like that moved. Lew Alcindor became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar the Laker. But that's just kind of weird. I mean, that whole thing is kind of weird.
You know, Shaq had to sow his wild oats, you know, win some championships in L.A., but he got his mind right in the end, and he retired to Celtics. So.
What I really wanted to talk to Sobo, because I want to get his take on Eric Decker, the Titan.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an interesting – I mean, I'm not really big on these on movement, and you think of guys, well, you know, Washington. Eric Decker's 7 years in. This is not a guy that is you know, he should be washed up. He's 6'3", 206 pounds. Played in the league for 7 years, was outstanding as a Bronco. Of course, he had a quarterback then, you know, with Peyton Manning. He's got 338 catches for 5,200 yards and 52 touchdowns. He's had 3,000-yard seasons, but he was with the Jets. I mean, last year he was with the Jets. Yeah. Who's throwing him the ball?
Right.
I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me. I think Eric Decker could be a huge addition for the Titans. It's a one-year deal. Maybe he returns to his Bronco form.
You start
with Marcus Mariota.
You start to look at that Titans offense now with the addition of another kind of veteran guy. That offense is nothing to turn your head at. It's one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Absolutely.
A lot of great young wide receiver talent, Corey Davis. And I'm pretty high on that Tywan Taylor kid coming in, too. I think he's going to be a pretty good asset. And then on top of that,
you don't need him to be huge this year because you still got Delanie Walker.
You still have Delanie Walker. Now all of a sudden you have Eric Decker. You know, and Rashard Matthews, who was a big guy last year for Tennessee. And in the backfield, you still have DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry and Mariota.
Don't forget Jostin Fowler. I mean, you got a great fullback, I think, in Fowler, a guy that's a great lead guy down, you know, close to the line of scrimmage. And then you've got, you know, the defense. I still think you got a great opportunity to be very, very good with that defense with Dick LeBeau. And as long as you got that guy around, you know, I would like to have seen them add a little bit more defensive talent. Dory Jackson. I don't know. I mean, if they think Adoree Jackson is a plug-and-play guy in a defensive backfield, I don't think so.
I don't either. It still feels like he's more along the lines of a guy they still look for to try to score points in special teams, and they've even said they'll eventually work him in on the offense, so he's not a true defensive guy anyway.
He's small. That's what I say. But I think, for the return game, I think that's a big part of what he does. It's going to be big. All right, we'll get a break. We'll give Sobo one more shot. In the meantime, when we come back, a lot of talk yesterday on the Supreme Court ruling on the ability to trademark an offensive name, and there's a lot of confusion about this. It's not like the Supreme Court agreed with Daniel Snyder and said that the name Redskins is not offensive. That's not what happened. I'll explain when we return. This is Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. The Ump.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
The Atlanta Braves, in the middle of a very well-deserved home stretch, take on the San Francisco Giants at SunTrust Park. Coverage starts at 6:20 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
Drop your phone or your iPad and have that dreaded spider web across the screen.
Oh, no!
Computer not working right. Bring it to the guys at Phone Restore. Most repairs are done in less than an hour. They get you in and out quick. Phone Restore is conveniently located at 900 Bob Wallace Avenue, just behind the Whole Foods and Regions Bank, and Central Park Village Shopping Center, a few doors down from Quizno Subs. Visit Phone Restore for all your smartphone and computer needs. PhoneRestore.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be, well, like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. With its powerful technology, ZipRecruiter distributes your job everywhere it needs to be to find the right candidates. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Used by businesses of all sizes, ZipRecruiter offers the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talent. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talent for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/talent.
The only way.
If s'mores, campfires, and family fun are in your summer plans, you want a new travel trailer, truck camper, motorhome, or fifth wheel from Bankston Motorhomes.
The only way to go.
Light the Denali 335 RLK fifth wheel / $13,000. This spacious fifth wheel has three slides to create tons of space. The living room features an entertainment center, theater seating, and a fireplace. The kitchen has a center island along with a 12 cubic foot side-by-side fridge. Plus, this model even includes a king-size bed with a built-in dresser for extra storage.
The only way to go.
Make summer memories you will treasure in a new fifth wheel like the 2017 Denali 335 RLK on sale for $47,112 / $13,000 off MSRP.
The only way to go is in a Bankston Motorhome.
Five locations or at BankstonMotorhomes.com.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
So bad.
I wish you could see your face.
I mean, it's just so bad. I mean, I don't mean disrespectfully. It's just so bad. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Phone lines are open. If you want to jump in, you can do it. Apparently, we won't have Brent Sobolewski. But we do have a line open for you if you want to get in on the show. I'm going to get into a story here in a moment. But let me first say that this segment of the show is brought to you by our good friends at Bankston Motorhomes. You know, Bankston Motorhomes has they're still taking entries right now. As we speak, they're taking entries for their contest where they're going to give away a brand new motorhome. Yeah, and all you have to do is guess the appropriate or the correct Alabama license number. What you do is you go to BankstonMotorhomes.com. That's their website, BankstonMotorhomes.com, and click on where it says enter to win, and then you can go ahead and take a shot at winning that bad boy. They got an inventory of over 500 new travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes over there. The winner will be announced in November. And if you don't, the number's already been locked away in a safe. If no one guesses the correct driver's license number, then the person closest to with the closest guess will win a $1,000 gas card. They also have the largest selection of pre-owned RVs in the southeastern United States. Almost 200 pre-owned RVs over there in stock as well. They got one to fit your budget. The largest selection of new and used RVs anywhere in the southeast is at Bankston Motorhomes. Go to BankstonMotorhomes.com. That's BankstonMotorhomes.com. From the text window, Chef Randy gets in with, glad the ump got the broadcast volume issue fixed, but get a sound engineer in. Tom, you sound weird. Okay. Again, I'm not in my studio. I'm not in the Big Dog Production Studios. I am in the ump studios in Athens. So I don't – this is the second or third time we've heard this, that I sound weird. So if you want to call the show and tell me if I sound any different or if I sound the same, certainly you can do that. I don't know anything about a broadcast volume issue. See, they don't tell me this stuff because they know I'm very anal, and I'll get, like, all torqued. If I know that something's wrong or something's amiss, they do a good job of hiding it from me. 866-485-9867. They keep it from me. So that I don't lose my mind and flip out. So when he says the broadcast volume issue is fixed, what's he talking about?
There was an issue where the callers would be way lower. The guests and even just the listeners would call in, and their volume, although they would be turned all the way up over here on the board,
yeah,
they were almost non-existent whenever you were talking, and we've kind of found a way until they've patched it up a little bit. It's not completely fixed yet, but...
Where they can't hear me? Or?
No, where they can barely hear the caller because you're so loud compared to them. Because I'd have the callers all the way up, but just their volume just wasn't enough. It was like they were whispering almost.
And so, which is weird because I would hear them wonderfully in
exactly.
My ears.
So I wasn't aware of the issue until someone brought it up to me, and then I talked to Arky and Chuck.
People
and
just adapt. They love the radio station so much, they just adapt to our problems. People tell us what troubles we have so that we can get our – we got a great engineer, Chuck, and we understand they're doing some other stuff too that's going to really make things even better in terms of our, you know, overall signal and things like that. They're working on it, things I can't really tell you about, but they're doing things that they're doing. But then he says, I sound weird. Now, do I sound weird? Do I just sound different? I'm on a Colt Cubic microphone, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Do I sound like a Auburn offensive lineman? I mean, maybe that's the deal. Right, I'm going to get to this story here. I'll get to your phone calls. I'm going to get to this story here that came down from the Supreme Court. 866-485-9867. Fabulous final hour is next in the weird-sounding Tom Abraham show. We'll do that right after this. Back with more. Lindsay says, I sound a little more muffled than usual. See? Muffled. And that's weird because in my ears, I sound more muffled than usual. So I think I agree with you, Lindsay. One more hour to go. Right here on the Muffled Weird Tom Abraham Show on 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant.